cliffcentral.com.
Good morning. Midweek, we've got to this point. Okay, settle down. We've got to a very special point of the week because I will give you three guesses why today is so special. My buddy Malloy, you can have the first guess.
Well, I do see our young piglet, Sia Sangwenifin, is back.
Yes, she gets it in one. Well done, my buddy Malloy.
It is so sad that I'm cheering for myself.
But not completely out of character. Hello, Sia. Good to see you back.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, pretty good, huh? As you can see, we're cracking on well without Gareth. Just in case you're wondering, Gareth is, I think he had an extended sort of stay at Google. At the moment, he's probably changing something in the world. So, Michael, we're probably going to get him, after seven?
We can try. But from his Twitter feed, it looks like he's having a ball at Google.
Yeah, I think he's forgotten about us, guys. I think he's looking for jobs. I think he's been offered something. And now we sit here with our own radio show. Yeah.
Well, clearly also our own station, so...
Oh, yeah, no, we already had this conversation. We put out the request for name change suggestions because, you know, it can't be Cliff Central anymore, so... Yeah.
What did we get to exactly?
Didn't somebody something McBoaty face or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, but we can't use that because they're old now.
Yeah, doing that. Somebody suggested one of those names.
Of course. Yeah, the name is still open, but let's give Gareth a chance. If he doesn't make it today and Google has sort of swallowed him up, then yeah, we'll look into that tomorrow.
Look, I would be completely understanding if Gareth decided to ditch all of us for Google. You know, it's kind of like...
I'd be horrified.
It's kind of like you're dating a 5 out of 10 and then a 9 out of 10 comes your way and you're like, well, okay.
Yes. Speak for yourself, everybody, Malone. Right, but the show goes on as usual, so if you want to get in touch with us on the WeChat, cliffcentral.com. Just Cliff Central, Facebook and Twitter. All these things.
Facebook is Cliff Central. Twitter's at cliffcentral.com.
See, look, we haven't been able to do this without you.
Here we go.
And Michael, the phone number is
0861-555-189. And we call this phone Drake because sometimes it's hotline bling.
How long have you been saving that for?
Oh, quite a while, guys. Okay. You just set me up and I just had to volley it.
All right.
Okay, well done, Michael. Well done. So, Sia, what have you been doing? You've been gone for so long that you actually...
400 years, it feels
doesn't
like.
Doesn't he look older, Mubs? He almost looks like a gentleman.
I thought like... Nah,
I don't mean older as in like what I look like in the morning. I mean like, you know, you look suave. And
yeah, at first I was like, hold up, what do I need to do then clearly? Yeah, it feels like I've really been gone a while, but started off for about 4 days in Cape Town. Just because, and then spent about another three days in Durban to see my family. So yeah, Durban was more like family, friends, that whole vibe. Cape Town was more just living the life of like a Clifton house husband, because even joking.
Okay, well, hang on a second. Okay. Here. Clifton house husband.
Yeah.
I woke up in the morning, went out for breakfast. Straight after that, went out for brunch, as one does. And then, as if that wasn't enough, went out for some lunch, went out for sundowners, and then went out for dinner.
Well, you...
Literally, I was asking for it.
You clearly have a blesser to be able to do these kinds of things. I mean, when you say that you were a house husband, were you somebody's temporary house husband?
Actually,
I was asking for it.
Excuse me now, just one more time there. We'll ignore that.
See, I was asking for it.
No, I just have very kind friends who decided to put up with me for a couple of days. It was very, very cool. So, yeah.
Nice, yeah. Well, that's very good. I'd say what you've missed. Michael picked horrendous songs. Mabs brought good news.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, that's me.
What?
That was my laptop. Just that outburst there for a second.
And yeah, Gareth's been changing the world. So other than that, absolutely nothing. You've missed nothing.
Okay. Well, the studio hasn't burned down. No one has won the lottery.
Nobody that I know.
Anyone pregnant?
No.
Nobody that I know.
And Oprah still hasn't made a stop here. Okay.
I don't know. I'll have to ask. You know, people come and go in this place. I don't notice everybody.
Just casually.
Right, Michael. So what do we have today on the show?
Today, we have Conspiracy Theory Wednesday, which is going to be really exciting. You can start looking up on it. It's got to do with aliens and building pyramids. Gareth Cliff will be joining us at 8 o'clock, just confirmed.
At 8 o'clock?
I mean, 7 o'clock. 7 okay. o'clock, just confirmed.
Bloody hell.
And then we've got an amazing interview Gareth did with Ross from Prime Circle. We're going to play out in the 8 hour.
Is that what you're calling it now, huh? Is it officially the 8 hour?
The 8 hour. It's the hour of the 8.
Okay, very, very good. We've also got Peshitta's tunes today because Michael, well, he started off all right and then he gave me the Pretenders song, which you should have seen the messages. I actually want to dig up some of the messages here about that Thousand Miles song. I'll do that a little bit later.
When I wake up.
No, Michael, stop it. The abuse that came in was just so widespread. It was actually horrible.
Yeah, for some reason, I just got images of a braai in the East Rand somewhere, and it did not look pretty in my head when that song was playing.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's all wake up with something rather exciting. 17 Australian slang terms that need to make a comeback.
You really love the Australians, I've picked up.
Yeah.
Really?
You have an affinity to Australia.
Guys, it was Australia Day. Someone had to do it, okay? I didn't make that up.
Show, the Bounce Show, you have Australians come in.
Well, Australians are the best in the world at cricket. We need their opinions.
Look, I'm just saying it's an affinity that I've noticed, and I'm not the only one. But carry on.
Okay, well, guys, it is difficult when most of today's media is all obsessed about Kim Kardashian's period.
Mm.
Oh, that's what you missed, yeah, whether or not she was pregnant or not.
Yeah.
It was a 2-day story, mostly because I cut Michael off on the first day.
I think, you know, the people got to know.
Yeah. Okay, right. So here we go. I'm going to give you the slang term, and then I need you to give me the meanings of what you think these Aussie terms are.
Mm.
Right. So first up, she'll be apples.
She'll be apples?
Yeah.
She'll be drunk?
I'm going to guess it has something to do with genitals for some reason. I don't know.
Its meaning is... things will be all right. Usage as in, my mate Davo said he wanted to have a Barbie tomorrow, but he'll think it'll rain though. Nah, she'll be apples.
Okay, all right.
So you're learning something very special this morning to speak Australian better. The Aussie salute. What do you think that is?
The Aussie salute. It's when a shark gets in your way and you punch it in the face. You give it the Aussie salute.
Yeah. Isn't that flashing someone?
It's brushing flies away.
Okay,
look, a lot of this is really inappropriate and borderline. Look, I'm not saying this is PC at any stage. So brushing flies away. Usage. Oi, is that dickhead waving at us? Nah, he's giving you the Aussie salute. Okay. No, because they've got the corks in their hat because of the flies.
Yeah.
Okay.
You call someone a dickhead just because.
That's Aussie culture. So okay. Yeah, this is a cultural lesson. Okay. This is what I'm doing. I'm starting the slow show. The show is slow this morning. The Bondi cigar. Now, Bondi Beach, of course, lots of surfers and swimming. What do you reckon a Bondi cigar is?
That's a penis.
Yeah. That's like a blowjob.
Okay.
Okay.
What is it?
It's a shit in the ocean.
Oh, man.
So if someone goes for an aqua dump, drops a bodger in the ocean, oi, swim faster. There's a Bondi cigar riding a wave and it's going to get you.
Oh, my God.
Now I really want DNC to make a song like that.
The Bondi cigar.
By the ocean. Shit by the ocean.
Okay, this one doesn't make any sense to me, so I'll get a new one. Haven't got a brass razoo.
A what?
Haven't got a brass razoo.
Razoo?
Think like you don't care.
Haven't got any money. Hey, Shaz, can you shout me for a cab this evening? Let's pay for the cab.
Okay.
No, I haven't got a brass for a zoo.
Okay. Sure. It's a lot of effort to say I don't have no money, but okay. Anyway,
it's a complex culture, this Australian thing.
Brass for a zoo, all right.
We're not here to fuck spiders. What does that mean?
Ooh.
You don't want to get bit?
We're not here to fuck spiders.
Hey, couldn't it be like an analogy? Like you don't want to... Spiders are dangerous. You don't want to mess with... You just want to play it safe.
Yeah, this is tough, guys. You're all wrong. So the meaning is we're not here to mess around. So literally it's like, you know, to use an obvious question. So usage is like, would you boys like a beer? To which you would say, well, we're not here to fuck spiders.
Okay.
As in, like, obviously,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes, okay. All right. Right, this one is an interesting one, the Bushman's hanky. These Australians. Using your finger to clog one nostril while blowing mucus out the other.
That is...
Oh, okay.
Oh, we call that farm style here.
Whatever it is.
If you need to blow your nose during a rugby game, you say farm style. And then just block one nostril, tss, on the floor, done.
Only during a rugby game.
Well, that's the usages for me and my friends.
Okay, well here's your Australian usage. Fuck me dead. I've got no tissues and a massive bat in the cave. Use a bushman's hanky.
Okay.
A bat in the... Oh.
Well, I mean, you know, if these Australians are taking dumps in the ocean, I'm not surprised that they're doing bushman's hankies as well.
Imagine he drops a Bondi cigar and then comes up for a bushman's hanky. Or before he goes back to the beach.
Yeah.
Okay, having a Captain Cook. Captain Cook was an explorer, he was an adventurer.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of
discovered new things.
Having a Captain Morgan and Coke?
No.
No, Michael?
My mind isn't as disgusting enough to actually think about
this. One's actually really clean. Yeah.
Having a Captain Cook.
Yes.
Having a nap.
What do you reckon it means?
Feeling like going out.
I'm trying something new. I'm trying, you know, I'm on an adventure.
It's to have a look.
Oh.
Why can't they just speak plain English?
Well, look, I mean, the usage is, does the shop sell undies? I've shat this pair. Don't know. I can run down and have a Captain Cook.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's clever. Although...
No.
Dry as a dead dingo's dongo. What does that mean?
I mean, that's...
A dead dingo's dongo.
Donga.
Donga.
Dry as a dead dingo's donga.
Wouldn't that just be like an adjective for how dry it is?
Correct, Michael. Correct. What happened to the humidity? It's as dry as dead dingo's donga out here.
Okay.
Yeah. I want to know what a dead dingo's donga is.
I think it's a dingo's penis. And when it's dead. Oh.
Right.
Okay. Cross as a frog in a sock.
A frog in the sock.
Cross as a frog in a sock. What do you reckon that means?
It means you're angry. Frogs don't like to be in socks.
Correct, Michael. You really are tapping into your inner Aussie here. Sounding angry. You're right. You sound as cross as a frog in a sock. Okay. Ruse loose in the top paddock.
I don't know, man.
You got to look at it quite literally here. Top paddock.
Screws loose in the head.
Jeebus, Michael. You're killing this now. Lack of intellect. You know my mate Shane? He's got a few ruses loose in the top paddock. That's pretty clever. They're getting better at these things. Who opened their lunch?
Who farted?
Well done, Michael. You okay, are...
It's time for Michael to move to freaking Sydney.
I've caught on to their lingo.
Far out. The ute stinks like a day-old grog bog. Who opened their lunch? Mystery bag. This is an easy one. Well, not actually.
What's a mystery bag?
Yeah. Usage. Going to have a barbie tomorrow, if the day is good. By the way, pick up some mystery bags on the way.
It's like a bring in bra.
Bring some
meat.
Bring
or something.
Some girls.
Close.
I guess it's not a lucky type of
girls.
I don't know.
It's a sausage. A sausage is a mystery bag, and you think that's how they make it. They throw all kinds of things.
Oh, you don't know what's in it.
Like, throw all kinds of things into a sausage, right?
They throw all kinds of nasty things into sausages.
Yeah. Shark biscuit?
Flax?
Shark biscuits. a dog biscuit, but for sharks?
No, Michael, you're doing so well. Shark biscuit, what we got, Sia?
Like you're asking for it. Like you, if you're a shark biscuit, you're just putting yourself out there. That's me really going out on the wing.
Sia, you're close, but a shark biscuit is a beginner surfer. My missus gave me surf lessons for Chrissy, but I feel like a bit of a shark biscuit at the moment.
Okay.
That's clever, huh? Right. Trough lolly.
Now, a trough is for, like, animals, like a pig to eat from.
Yeah.
So, a trough lolly.
Sounds like a penis.
Urinal cakes. So, like the sweets, you get trough lolly. Dead horse.
Just a lazy person.
It is tomato sauce. Oi, Helen, you got any dead horse? This pie is drier than a dead dingo's donga.
Tomato sauce.
Yeah.
And A, how is that tomato sauce? B, why would you put tomato sauce on a pie?
This is culture. We'll do culture once a week from now on. Okay. Tickets on yourself, the final one. You've got tickets on yourself. What does that mean?
You're on your own.
Close.
You're about to die. Killing yourself.
No.
Tickets on yourself.
Yeah, see, you can get this one.
Like you are... like you're a target. Or you made yourself a target.
See, I was asking for it.
It means to be up your own ass. That's it. Like, so you got tickets on yourself. You really do. You know, you think highly of yourself. Anyway, Donald Trump's in the music again. You know, you get these great mashups that go into political campaigns and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. President singing songs by Kesha and such.
America, great again. Obama,
you're fired.
No, like, dude, is
win, 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 no matter what.
Got money on my
mind. I can never get enough. And every time I
step up in the building, everybody
ten.
Go up.
And they stay there.
And they say,
yeah. Bye-bye. And they stay there.
Up, down, up, down,
up, down.
Because all I do is
win, win, win.
And if you're going
in,
put your hand in the air.
Make them
stay there.
Unbelievable.
He would be the best president.
His wife really is actually very hot, huh?
Melania.
I mean, like, that's all I take out of that song. That song's mostly shit. But his wife is really, really attractive. So, Mabs, I think the, before we get into the news, before we get into everything else, we need to touch on the big story. It looks like Bill Cosby is finally going to go to, on trial.
Yeah, a judge decided this in yesterday, sometime American time. And it looks like Bill will definitely have to go through a process of being judged by 12 people of his peers, because, you know, the wonderful jury system in America.
Well, I'm glad you bring it up, because this one always gets me, right? A jury of your peers. Now, what if you are a serial sex pest offender, narcissist, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I think...
I mean, like, who do you reckon Bill Cosby's peers are?
Well, Hugh Hefner.
Can you imagine him rocking up in a robe on his little pipe saying, right, let's get some justice on here.
Hugh Hefner, and who's that tennis guy who did all those horrible
Bill
things
Murray.
To...
No, not Bill Murray.
No, the tennis coach who did all those horrible things
Hewitt.
To... Bob Hewitt would be a peer of Bill Cosby. I don't know what they mean by a jury of your peers. I think that's just something that they say for effect, but it's not really...
Yeah, it's like that thing about, you know, all Americans, the right to bear arms, that kind of stuff. It's been said for so many years now, they can't drop it. But it's an interesting thing, because now more evidence has come through, so now he gets to actually have his day in court. So the first question is it going to be televised?
Oof, that's a good question.
Which it kind of has to be, because this whole trial and, or sorry, all these allegations, this whole story has been one big media shitstorm, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's only fair that it goes to trial, because, like, look at what I'm saying, it's going to be bigger than the Michael Jackson trial, obviously not, but it's a big deal.
It is a big deal. It probably will be televised in the States, and then we'll just get, you know, snippets as part of news broadcasts or whatever. But yes, he faces 3 counts of felony aggravated indecent assault. And this is all from a 2004 case involving Andrea Constant. If convicted, Cosby faces up to 30 years in prison. Now, the man is already, what, in his 70s?
78.
78.
Yeah.
Yeah, so sure. Yeah, how's that looking at the prospect of spending the remaining years in prison?
Yeah, people always say, like, one of the things that came up with the whole Bob Hewitt thing is like, well, he's so old. But I mean, this is the best time to actually go to jail when you're this old, because you can really suffer when you're really old, decrepit. You can really toil over your horrible crimes.
I love the use of the word best, as in, like, best time for who, exactly?
See, I just want justice. All I want is justice, and I reckon Bill... I mean, the thing is, that whole smoke where it's fire, where this fire thing, a few allegations for a bit of money here and there. We've seen it before, people trying to extort Hollywood stars. But this is very, very dodgy. But at least he now gets to go to court, which is a really big deal, and kind of vindicates a lot of those women as well, even if it's just this one case, right? So... Andrea Constant, she's the one who's basically her crimes, or her case has come forward here. But for all the other women who can't have the day in court with him, it's a really big day for them as well.
Sure, but I mean, let's not get ahead of ourselves here, because what happens if at the end of the trial he's found to be not guilty, you know, and then that puts an end to all of this. It will be an interesting one to watch because there are a lot of people, a lot of Hollywood people who've come out in Cosby's defense, basically saying that all 58 of those women were basically seeking attention. They were lying. They were, you know, just trying to, you know, basically saying that they all, every single one of them are in cahoots and they lied.
Who's stupid enough to say that?
My guy, who was it that said it? I'm trying to think now. I don't want to mention the wrong celebrity's name in case it wasn't there.
I know R. Kelly did say something along those lines, but hey, like, R. Kelly's not a credible source. Like, you do not want R. Kelly standing up for
there
you.
There are some shady accusations about his past as well.
You don't want R. Kelly's hard drives in your house and the cops come knocking, put it that way.
Listen, with a recent album called Black Panties or something. not on the credible scale. Just throwing it out there.
I read that Bill used to hire people who would sort of set up auditions, and their job was just to get girls in for him. And then what he would do was he'd offer them a drink or even food that was laced, and this would drug them up, and then he'd take advantage of them. But they even knew that that's why they were bringing the woman in for auditions.
Yeah, I remember there was that one security guard who spoke out much earlier.
Yeah.
Who had said that he was personally there when Bill Cosby would have sometimes underage girls go backstage with him when he was, you know, on set for something. And the doors would get closed and one can only assume what would happen behind closed doors. But he personally witnessed a whole bunch of women being trafficked in and out of Bill's space.
See, Michael, I think we need to get a legal expert back at some stage to work this out, because if it's for this one case, right, so, as you mentioned, this one woman, so 2006, is it then a point for character, character
assassination,
evaluations or character trial, is that, do they then call back all these people who made these allegations and say, right, what was your story that happened in 1989, whatever, whatever, and then does that then get used for this one case? And that the fact is, all the people say he's a sex offender, so therefore this case we have before us today obviously has a lot of credibility. Or are you only allowed to actually work in the parameters of what you're claiming?
That would be a good question to ask a legal expert, because Cosby's defense attorney basically slammed this decision that the judge took that the trial will go forward, because he said that the evidence that was presented, he said that the evidence is nothing because they had 12 years to bring an accuser to confront, and they chose not to. So again, it raises, you know, other questions of, well, then if a certain time elapsed, does this really affect the trial in any way? Will it make it weaker? Will it put Cosby in a better position? So there'll be a lot of, you know, legal detail to sort out here.
Yeah, it's tricky. Well, let's have a quick little whip round before the sport. What do you reckon the outcome's going to be? Michael, we'll start with you.
He'll probably go to jail.
So guilty.
Guilty.
Flat out. All in.
You don't have so many people accusing you and they have no reason for it, you know?
So yeah, the critical mind from the outside, Mike?
Listen, this is Hollywood at the end of the day, so I really do think by some off chance and strong possibility, actually, he could get off on this. Scotch-free, basically. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just a weird, tricky situation. Where was his wife in all of this? What does his wife still say? How does he... Yeah.
At some stage, I think his wife's going to sing.
Sing? Oh, not literally sing, but actually, oh, yeah, 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 oh, yeah.
I don't know. She's managed to keep quiet all these years. Why would she suddenly cave in now?
Look, I reckon there's a lot of hush when there's a lot of hush money, but I reckon at some stage she's going to play a part in all of this. Bill could be free and in the clear, innocent, lawyers would have done their jobs, whatever.
Yeah.
But I reckon Camille is definitely going to have a say in this at some stage.
You see, I think above and beyond anything, as his wife in this entire thing is, I think she just has a pride thing going on, because they were like the picture of this wholesome young black couple going out into Hollywood and being a success and just the example of what young couples should aspire to be. And now you find out they're 50 freaking 8 women on the side. How do you get back from that? So I think she's being very coy by playing it quiet. But if reality really does hit her, I think she'll also just like speak her mind.
Yeah, that's true. If she just carries on with the life and then Bill does get innocent, then she can just go, oh, well, that's over.
I reckon Bill's defense team are going to poke enough holes into this trial to enable him to get away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. There are, out of this 58, six of them were actually younger than 18 when the alleged abuse took place. A bunch of them between 18 and 24. This is like young, young girls who Bill was obviously taking advantage of. It's kind of sickening, actually.
Very sickening. But yeah, let's get away from that. Ugh, sickos.
Bill, full stop.
Right, so Gareth's going to join us in just over half an hour. We've got Anthea with the money. We've got me with the sport. Sia's got other stories I'm sure he'll share with us throughout the day. And then my buddy's news, all coming up. So yeah, we can get to that after these.
The Jersey Urban Trail and Obstacle Run is back on the 28th of May. Challenge your friends. Challenge your family. Enter the 12 or 18 kilometer adventure or 6 kilometer fun run. Whether you want the scenic route or the adventurous route, the choice is yours. With nothing stopping you, it's go time. The Hollard Jura, brought to you by AdReach and Joburg City Parks and Zoo. Enter at jerseyadventure.co.za.
Business leaders around the globe are committing to building a better world for everyone. CliffCentral.com is joining forces with the Sympathy Sleeper, taking a stand for the plight of the homeless. We invite you to participate with us in the Sympathy Sleepout on the 28th of July, 2016. Join the ranks of leaders of change by using your influence for what truly matters. Sign up now for the Sympathy Sleepout on www.theceosleepoutza.co.za. That's theceosleepoutza.co.za.
Well, who would have thought it? Sundowns are back in the African Continental Big Cup Real Deal Champions League maps. And what
That's
has been
good for them.
And what has been a real turn of events. Because you know they got dicked in the cup, right? They lost to AS Vita. They then went into the CAF Confederations Cup and they lost to Madayama. I probably butchered that, but anyway. So they were completely out in their ass, nothing. But AS Vita, what they did is they fielded an ineligible player. Now, we see this happening in quite a few things. We've actually seen it locally in the Varsity Cup Rugby as well. And then teams get docked either points or they get fined a whole bunch of money. But the CAF Champions League, they said, look, AS Vita, you've had this guy who basically played in the second leg when AS Vita beat Sundowns in the Champions League earlier. And he played, and, well, that you can't do that. If the guy wasn't eligible, he's not eligible. There's no grey areas. You can't just suddenly pull him on and think the ref's not going to understand. People will pick this stuff up. So they're out. They're gone. They're finished. They're out of this. Now, it's a huge financial thing, this really. Because if you can make it further up into this competition, you're making big money. And big money, obviously, that means you get better players. It means you do a whole lot better as a club because rich clubs are good clubs. So Sundowns, it's good news for them. Bad news is they're in a very tough group. They've got Enyimba from Nigeria, Zamalek from Egypt, ES Setif from Algeria. Now, all of these teams are previous Champions League winners. So I had an interesting discussion with Keegan Kruger this week on my show on Mondays. It's a very good show, by the way. You should really get into it.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I've heard. Well, I just said this. So basically, like, South African teams do so badly in African continental cups. Well, Pirates done pretty well. But essentially, the teams don't do so great because it's so tough to go and play these guys. You're not guaranteed you're going to have great training facilities. Like, you can actually rock up and your hotel has bunk beds. So it's not like here where the teams come here and they live large.
Hmm.
They have a good time. Everything's cool. So they're not so much. It's very difficult and it's a very abrasive environment to play in. So good for Sundowns to get back in the cup. Hopes them going further. Well, let's just say they're not exactly huge. Not huge at all. Jose Mourinho has begun to agree terms with Man United. His agent has been agenting hard with Man United check holders. So that's going to carry on all of today, I reckon, as well. They're going to just tie down the finer things as far as money, buyout clauses, you know, when you get fired and this kind of stuff, because everything, it's like getting a prenup. Only thing is, this is, you know, this marriage is going to fail. So it's a very interesting kind of process these guys are going through.
So then it'd be very sensible to get a prenup then. You know it's going to fail.
Yeah. So that's all these things are when you get these new deals in football. It's like a prenup's prenup. So that's going to happen. And all being well, Mourinho will be officially the coach, the manager. I can never understand which is more the better word to use, because you get physical coaches and then you get the manager and managers, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, so that's going to take place this week. And it looks like Zlatan Ibrahimovic could be Mourinho's first choice. Now, Ibrahimovic is 34 years old, so he's long in the tooth. I mean, he's the same age as me. So I wouldn't put big money in this guy. He's out of contract, so he's a free agent. And I think he's at the twilight of his career. He's done so well in PSG. He's done well in Holland. He's done well for the Swedish national team. He's been in Italy, I think, as well. So he, I think, wants just like one more season, one more payday. And he wouldn't mind experience in the English Premier League, which many people do want to have at some stage in their career. We see Pep Guardiola coming over to manage Man City. And I think you haven't really lived a football life until you've had that. So that's going to happen sometime this week as well. Liverpool signed a new keeper. They got the young German dude, but yeah, we'll get into more signings as the bigger ones happen for you. In other football news, Ronaldo has an injury scare. Now, Ronaldo is amazing. He's currently in a pair of jocks on the cover of GQ.
He should always be in that exact
just in a pair of jocks
state. Yeah, everywhere he goes. I mean, even when he walks into a fine dining restaurant, he should be in that state of dress.
He's even got like his own underwear line called CR7, right?
Yeah. So, Mabs, when this Champions League final takes place on Saturday, you reckon all the teams must run out, everyone's kitted up, but Ronaldo's just in a Real Madrid speedo?
Absolutely. You know, some people...
Not unreasonable to think that.
Some people need to play their roles really well. And when you look good naked, it's up to you to show that nakedness to the rest of us so that we feel good as well. It's nice looking at good-looking people, men.
It's a fair point. I mean, look, it's May, so it's not cold in Spain right now.
Yeah.
Temperature's great.
Yes.
You know, sports always can find new ways to get new fans in the mix.
Yeah.
So I think it is. I mean, UEFA must really look into this. FIFA needs to look into this as well.
Yeah.
Because now the Euros, they take place in the European summer. That's coming up now as well. So these are all things that UEFA should table at the next big conference.
In fact, I'd go so far as to suggest that they must revisit that shirt swapping tradition that they have. But instead of the shirt swapping, they should all just take their clothes off, all of them on the field.
Wow.
Wow.
Well, that's
you want to get female fans watching, you know. Yeah,
but you know, Duncan came in the other day saying that eating certain kind of foods make you gay.
Yeah, but
I think Duncan's going to battle with this, because he'll like what he sees and he'll be confused.
Oh, and then he'll be afraid for his life.
And I think a lot of guys will be like, they'll look at Ronaldo naked and they go, I don't want to see this, but I'm looking.
But well, yeah.
Anyway, the point I was actually trying to make somehow amongst all that is that he scored 51 times in 47 matches this year. Okay, so he is absolutely incredible. But he has not yet scored against Atletico Madrid. Now, Atletico, I ban myself from making predictions because I have this real adverse effect on teams. But Atletico have been amazing this year defensively. So when you get into a final like this, you want to be tight, you want to be defensive, and you want strikers that can capitalize on opportunities. That's Atletico Madrid's team basically to an absolute T. So Ronaldo has missed quite a few training sessions now, and he limped out yesterday as one another thigh injury, but it's on the other leg to the troubled one that kept him out of the semi-final match against Man City. So he says it's all good, I'll be okay, but this is probably the most minutes he's ever played in one season, which is a bit of a concern for these star players. Like Ronaldo said, look, the team uses me more than any other player. He also said he's much better than any other player. These are all truths, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can't pull him up on this. He's definitely right.
I mean, you might not like him, but admit that he is good.
Acknowledge you're the greatest arse that makes everyone else try to be greater. So he said he's played more minutes this year than anyone else and ever in his career, which is a bit of a concern because now the Euros are happening after this, right? So that's basically the World Cup, but for just European teams. So what are the chances that he's going to come through this entire season? He's not going to commit to this Portugal team and then be ready for duty when the season starts, like in a few weeks after that.
Yeah. What did you say the injury is again that he's got?
He's got thigh injuries.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
See, no problem is
it does not look good.
I know what you're thinking. If he wasn't wearing shorts, you'd be able to examine it and see the extent of the injury.
Yes, me and my medical background.
Your sharp medical eye. Right, in tennis, we'll get more into the Champions League close to the time. Today's only Wednesday, of course. We've got two more days to kind of get through. So I will feed you more information as we get closer to the big match. That's 28th, so Saturday. Big weekend of football. We've got the Nedbank Cup final and then the Champions League Cup final. But we also got tennis mubs. And as you know, it's the French Open right now, and Andy Murray got through his five-setter. He won the fifth set 7-5, so it was squeaky getting a bum all the way to the end there. He went two sets down, he came back, and then bad light stopped play on day one of the match. And he came back, and he beat the 37-year-old Czech guy. Djokovic, he cruised through. He beat some Asian guy rather comfortably. That's he's been this three finals in this tournament, right? Zero wins.
Yeah.
He needs a win to be the eighth man in history of tennis to have the career slam, okay? So that's winning the Aussie Open, the French Open, Wimbledon, and the US Open.
But is Nadal's left hand still as big of a threat because this is his favorite surface, or because of his past injuries, is it less of a threat, which means guys like Djokovic might stand a chance?
I think with Nadal's left arm, it's like there's definitely experience and there's definitely qualities there. However, I just think, you know, he's fourth seed, so he's in Andy Murray's bracket. So all being well, he'll get through maybe to the semis. Like, I think Murray will have the wood in him on this one. I think Murray's improved a hell of a lot as a player, even though he didn't show it in the first round. I just don't think Nadal's got the confidence this game used to have. Now, we see it with all these big guns when they go past their prime. They know they're good. They know they can do it. They've done it before. But when you're excellent the whole time, you pick up when you're not, right? So in his psyche right now, it's like, I don't know if I can slug a five-setter against guys, because he could always take someone deep. If someone was more talented or slightly quicker, very seldom, of course, Nadal always knew if he was playing badly, he could slug out a set here and there, get into a tiebreak, and he'd always just get through because he had the stamina, he had the edge. He hasn't got that edge anymore, so he knows he has to try to be like better than ever. He can't make any mistakes. He can't grind the matches like he used to. So that doesn't bode well for him. So look, I still think he's a fantastic contender in this tournament. But I'm still pushing for Djokovic to finally get over this hoodoo. Three finals, no wins. But if he gets this one win, eighth man in career Grand Slam history. Same for Serena Williams. She got three yesterday, easy enough. She needs one more title. And this one being, I think, a 22nd. And that will tie her with Steffi Graf as the most successful woman in the Open era. They say the Open era, the modern era, because there was that old Trout back in the day in a long skirt. She won a lot more. But, I mean, come on.
Margaret Court, I think.
Back in those days.
Yeah. But you can't really compare Margaret Court to Steffi Graf or Serena Williams. Different times, different rules were in place.
Different times, different rules, different opportunities for players. So I think you've always got to just pick it as like Steffi is the pinnacle and Serena's got to try win that. Yeah. So right, other guys to go through were Tsonga, Ferrer, Berdych. They're all through on the Sheila side of the draw. We've got Australian Open winner Angelique Kerber. Well, she's out.
Yeah, shame.
Another previous winner of the Sheila selections of the Aussie Open, Victoria Azarenka, she retired hurt.
Oh,
interesting enough, Mubs, both of these players are on Serena's side of the draw.
So they're just clearing the path for her.
Kind of bodes well for her, yeah. Local news, Kevin Anderson, well, he's gone. Yeah.
In the first round?
Yeah.
Shame.
The thing about Big Kev is that he's a grass courter, right? Mm. Now, we saw him last year get so close to taking Djokovic all the way out of the tournament. It took him to five sets. So if Big Kev gets out of the French, no biggie. You know, his whole game is to stand and just boom the ball. He's not going to grind it and run around and pull his jocks out of his pants like Nadal. So no biggie there. In cricket, now look, we've got to acknowledge this eventually. The IPL's got to the knockout stages, right?
Okay.
So the IPL is basically this that Bollywood production where they sing, dance, and they play cricket in the end.
No, actually it's not, but that's a good try.
Oh, okay. So Virat Kohli has been the talk of the tournament. He has been absolutely exceptional. I mean, like, incredible. You'll see the stats in this guy. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. Firstly, he was, like, incredible in the World T20, right? So no one could get him out. He was just scoring runs. He single-handedly somehow got India into the semifinals. But, yeah, only one man could take him so far. This year, in T20 matches alone, this is international and IPL, he's averaging over, going into yesterday's match, he was averaging 103. Now, there's only 120 balls in the entire T20 match, right? This guy was averaging 102 himself. In second innings chases, basically, he was averaging 151. So when this guy was in the mix, your team was basically winning. That's just how it worked. He scored 400 so far this year in the IPL. 17 scores this year of 50 and above. And he's absolutely shattered the IPL scoring record. 919 runs going to yesterday's match. 737 was the previous best from Chris Gayle. Bear in mind, this tournament has not finished yet. It is absolutely staggering what he's done. And yesterday, Mubs, it was the must-win match against the Gujarat Lions. Gujarat Lions, 155, 158 all out. And then Cody got to the crease, and what do you reckon he scored?
No. You know that I can barely keep up with how cricket scores work. Ask Flex. Flex?
No, because Flex is going to say something stupid like 285.7.
I would also say something stupid because...
See, he just quite a bowling average.
Also, no, I'm with Mubs. I don't understand how this whole cricket thing works with the what the six means, what the first number means, how many runs of what balls.
I don't do cricket, babe.
Are you guys
sorry.
Being serious? When you hit the ball over the ropes, you get six runs.
Yeah.
I know that, but I don't know what they mean by 59 for six in three overs.
Well, the team has scored 59 runs and the bowling team's taken six wickets.
Yeah, but for somebody who doesn't follow the game, it's all just numbers thrown at you and you're like, okay, whatever.
That's not following the game. That's like saying that guy just ate a peanut butter sandwich. You've just seen it happen. You're chronicling what's going on. Is that easy?
No, Ben. If you're not into the cricket, then you just don't get the numbers.
Or you just don't listen to me. There's also that, huh?
Well, I actually played cricket at school and I still don't understand cricket.
Okay.
Wes.
All right, well, let's get into it. Cody scored zero yesterday, okay?
What?
He scored bugger all nothing zero. Zilch.
No, but then this completely defeats how you were building him up as this great person who's breaking, shattering all these records, and
but
he scored zero.
It. This is the beauty of sport. The guy was invincible. You had this lightning bolt coming out of every orifice. And he got to the crease yesterday in this must-win match, and he got zilch.
Oh, dear.
Nothing. Zero. Oh. So what did that mean? Well, it meant the RCB, the Royal Challengers Bangalore, they were so screwed. They were 29 for 5, right, Michael? 29 runs for the team, 5 wickets for the bowlers. They were 29 for 5, chasing 158. They were 68 for 6, but luckily for them, not only do they have Kohli, they have Abraham Benjamin de Villiers, the greatest batsman in the entire world, maybe single-handedly, and I'm saying this, everyone can pick this up.
Abraham.
He didn't actually bat with one hand, but he single-handedly took it by himself to win this match. 79 runs, he got a 47 runs. RCB are in the final, and these guys lost their shit like you can't believe. The stadium basically erupted. The players ran onto the field. This guy tackled AB so hard that he dislodged the helmet off AB's head, cutting his chin. This is how it got crazy. It was one of the craziest scenes I've ever seen on a cricket field.
What, did he get confused and suddenly thought that they were playing rugby that he tackled AB?
The guy could not control his emotions. If you go into my Twitter feed, you'll see the slow-mo video of this happening. And AB, it's just so funny. It was crazy. So Kohli, who is, everyone's saying, is like the Don Bradman of the modern day T20. He said, well, look, the debate is now finally over. It's pretty clear to see who the best batsman in the world is. It's AB de Villiers. That's where I was going with this whole story.
Okay, all right then.
It got terribly misled while educating you sporting heathens. But there we go. So RCB are into the final of the IPL. The Knight Riders take on the Sunrisers Hyderabad. That's the next match, right? That's the one Sia's been looking forward to all season. The Knight Riders have so far beaten Hyderabad twice in the tournament in regulation play. The winner of this, now this is where the IPL takes a piss a bit. Normally the top four teams get semi-final, right? Number one plays number four. In this tournament, number one plays number two. The winner of that goes through to the final. The loser of that then plays the winner of number three and number four.
Mm-mm, that doesn't make sense.
We'll see. Now that, I don't mind you saying doesn't make sense, because it really doesn't. It's just stupid. It's just throwing extra matches. So that's the IPL, and that's where we are with the IPL right now. Wrapping up before we get into Anthea. Sorry, my heavy breathing. I'm getting really, really worked up about the story. In the Olympic news, because we're going to have various features going through. Danny Willett is the next golfer to think, well, hang on a second, I might not want to get Zika.
You see, it's a domino effect. Rory McIlroy said it first, and now look at what's happening.
It is teetering on the edge, Mubs, because if you get one more big player to say, well, you know what, I don't want to go to the Olympics because of Zika, then golf is screwed, because it's one thing having Louis Oosthuizen and Charles Schwartzel, those kind of guys, getting into scheduling things, saying, look, I don't want to play. But if Louis Oosthuizen, he's outside of the top 10. If any of the top 10 guys do it, the whole thing is screwed. But I mean, completely screwed. And Danny Willett, he was the Masters champion from this year. So if he says no thanks, also, they might as well not even play it. They literally are. It's panic stations right now. But one thing about the golfers, though, whether they go or whether they come, they are clean, unlike the Russians. The Russians, another 14 have now been banned from Rio because of what they did in the 2008 games. And suggestions are that even 30 people in total from Russia will be banned going into the games, because they want to make this the cleanest and most honest Olympics ever.
So it seems to me like the Russians are leading the pack and were running some sort of successful doping ring until they were caught. But the question is, if they started digging deeper into other athletes, how much dirt would they find?
So much, because the Russians now bring up a very good point. They're saying, hey, it's not just us. Yes, we doped.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean we're bad guys. They're saying the IAAF is equally to blame here because they've been trying to grow the sport of track and field, right? But you can't grow a sport when you're banning athletes. So what they did, they knew full well the Russians were doping. But they were going, okay, just trying to do too much. Yeah. Just stop doing the whole time.
Yes.
Put the syringes away, the pressure here.
Don't get caught.
Just stop it. So they were saying, look, if the IAAF really were serious about this, they would have stopped this a long time ago. So it's the thing with Russians. They've become so dodgy over so many centuries that they have a great backup for everything. And so we need to get to Anthea. We'll get a lot more sport tomorrow. There'll be a lot less to IPL, I promise. But I just had to bring that story.
Well, I mean, if you don't bring up motorsport tomorrow, I think I'm going to be very disappointed, because that's your new favorite thing. That's your new love.
Well, Mabs, I'll keep you guessing. It'll be great for everyone. So, Sia, while you're away, we discovered something quite special, which I'm going to just bring to you right now.
Ooh.
It's Anthea's new song.
Yeah.
Seriously, the chorus kicks in. Oh. You get English and Spanish. It's just an absolute treat.
It just takes me back to my Latino roots. Oh, ay caramba.
Morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Ben.
I'm sorry I took so long in the sport, but I had to teach the whole team here what cricket means, how people score things. It's
Ben, I was worried that you were going to question me.
No, Anthea, I know.
After giving my belly and flack such a hard time.
No, it's all right. I know you know exactly what's going on, just like you do with the money. What's going on?
Let's talk money. Okay, so global markets were higher yesterday. There's a lot of talk by the U.S. Fed governors about them raising interest rates, if not in June, then probably in July, and possibly even 2 to 3 times this year. I can't imagine them raising interest rates more than once, and I reckon it'll only be in very small increments, but it definitely helped our market. We were up 80 basis points yesterday, and the Rand holding nice and steady at 1563.
Very nice, 1563. Okay, so I mean, what do you reckon is actually like a fair estimate of where the Rand should be? Do you reckon that's fair for current things?
Because I know
we've always said it's undervalued and it's overtraded and all that kind of stuff, but I mean, what do you reckon is a par score at the moment for the Rand?
It's so difficult to say. I really don't have any idea. Some people say 16 or above is probably where we should be because of what's happening, kind of our deficits and trade exports and imports. But if we get downgraded by S&P, and I think it's 3rd or 8th of June, so it's imminent, you'll see this Rand go through 16 easily.
Oh.
If we don't get downgraded, of course, it could touch 15 again. I mean, that's how big this discrepancy is.
Yeah, well, let's hope those dark days don't come. All right.
Okay. Some good news. Naspers was up 3% again yesterday. It looks like it's heading for the 2,200 level. Last traded 2,184 Rand a share. And then Mediclinic was up 2% yesterday as well, also making a run for the 200 level. They've got results later today, so that'll be interesting because we hold those shares. I attended the Tiger Brands results presentation yesterday. Their new CEO, Lawrence McDougall, it was his first presentation. He took over from Peter McClary.
Mm-hmm.
He's only been in the job for 14 days, so, you know, kind of hardly had enough time to get his head around it. He didn't speak much. And sort of besides the numbers, I think the most important thing I need to convey was that they said that they'd managed to contain the cost push inflation and they're doing their best to protect the consumer. In other words, the increased prices you're seeing on the shelves for their products, and they own Albany Bread, they own Oros, All Gold, Enterprise Processed Foods, Koo canned products. that they've actually managed to not push through the total inflation that they're picking up from the manufacturer, which is great for us, but they did warn that they can't keep doing it. So for the company, for us it's great, but for the company not so great, because what that means is there's margin compression, of course. The share was down 25 basis points yesterday. I would have thought it would be down a bit more, because going forward it just does not look good. And you know we're net importers of maize these days. And
no, as it's really worrying, huh?
Yeah, and as this rand keeps weakening, we're paying more for our basic foods.
Yeah, but I mean, that's all drought stuff, right? We can bounce back from that.
Yes,
the whole
exactly.
importing thing. Yeah.
That's right, yes. Okay. And there's a lot of talk of El Nino now becoming La Nina, which I don't completely understand.
Yeah, I heard about this. It's like the bipolar evil twin, but it's actually going to make it very wet.
And is that good for maize?
I think it'll be good for bananas. I'm not entirely sure that maize is going to get the good side here.
Okay. We'll have to look into that a bit more.
Because it'd be really ironic, right? It's like, oh, the drought's over, but now we've got too much rain, so we're equally screwed with the maize.
Exactly. No, that's not funny. Why are we laughing?
Sorry, it's me. I'm laughing. I'm just a dick like that.
All right. And then Ascendus Healthcare. This is a company we've spoken about before. They do Nemu skin technology. They do the sports brands Evox and SSN. They do lots of vitamins, Swiss Guard, VitaForce, Better, something, Better Way. And then they also do diagnostic laboratory equipment. They announced yesterday that they're acquiring a Cyprus-based generic pharmaceutical manufacturer called Remedica. They're paying 5.8 billion rand for that. And then they're also buying a sports nutrition business called Cytec Nutrition, which they're paying 2.9 billion rand for.
Yeah, that's a big business that, huh?
That's a nice shopping spree for them.
Yeah. Wouldn't mind being Carsten Wellner. He's the CEO, right? The share was up 11% on the back of this news yesterday.
Huh.
Yeah. So again, you know, I think what you're seeing is a South African company just diversifying into offshore. So Remedica does malaria treatment, antibiotics, and they're mostly in emerging markets, South America, Middle East. And then Cytex, the sports nutrition, they are mostly in Europe, Germany, France, Spain. So nice diversification of markets and distribution.
Very nice.
So this share is up 70% already in the last year. So they're doing very well. And they only listed about 2 years ago, just barely on 2 years ago. And then, Ben, you mentioned BMW making a capital investment last week. And I see yesterday Toyota also announced.
Ah, yes. Because 6 billion or something?
6 billion rand, yeah. To produce the new Hilux Fortuna in Durban.
Yeah, that's a really big deal because, I mean, the jobs in the back of that, it was so big that President Zuma even went there to go say, well done for opening this.
Oh, good for him. So obviously this motor industry development plan is working. I had a quick look at it. There's no kind of real information about what it is they're doing, but I'm guessing that they're either offering tax breaks or some sort of government support program. Yes, but I reckon if the motor industry can do it, then surely the other industries must catch up.
Yeah, you got to think with the amount of money that can come into the country, logic essentially has to prevail here. It really has to.
I think what you'll find is that the naysayers are probably speculating that the motor industry is doing this because they're being offered lower wages, and that, you know, there's a big discussion around inequality in wages in the country and how do we correct it, and is the minimum wage the correct thing to do? But I don't know. I'm really of the opinion that I'd rather get industry and offshore companies investing and just getting on with it, you know, creating jobs.
Yeah.
But I suppose you do want to protect your labor force to a point, right?
Yeah, completely. There has to be a bit of give and take. It can't just be like small kids making phones in Asia. But Gareth made a very good point yesterday. You know, he had a big chat with the guys from all these venture capitalists, guys who've been really, you know, shaping the internet over the last sort of few decades. And he said that one of the biggest things that we've got in our favor here for development and future growth is that we're an English-speaking country. And never thought of it like that. But I mean, another way of attracting big business is that you've got a workforce that speaks English.
That is such a good point. I also never thought about that. So obvious, right?
Exactly. I mean, it's like we've got all these things. We've got all the answers in this country, but we just never accept them, ever.
Wow, that's quite something. So we should just have loads of call centers and development and programming and...
Yeah,
all sorts, right? That is everything.
That's another angle. I mean, look what India did with that.
Yeah, very big business.
They outsourced the world, and you know they've got the biggest population. They've got people in jobs. It's great. Well, second biggest population in the world.
Yeah, wow, that's true. All right, and that's pretty much it for me.
Okay, very good, Anthea. Tomorrow will be Thursday. You, I think this is the longest stretch we've had you. You're not jet setting at all nowadays.
No, there's work to be done, Ben.
Yeah, it's the problem with May, these unglamorous months. You just sit here. But I'm sure your house in France is looking quite good this time of year.
Well, the film festival's just finished. So,
well, Anthea, if you ever need anybody to house at your house in France, Sia is definitely available to offer that service to you.
I was wondering if somebody couldn't go and check it out before the summer hits.
You know, I'll just be selfless enough to do so, Anthea. You know, it's very tough for me, but I really don't mind. I'll take one for the team.
Please, guys, do you really not think that Anthea's running big rentals here? She knows what she's doing with her properties. She didn't buy this because she likes how it looks.
I'm just trying to get Sia to go to France.
Now, that
I like
is
the way
a good
my Bali's getting
woman.
Sia to go.
Yeah, Sia's been back for an hour, but Bali wants him gone already.
All right, guys, have a good day.
All right, you too, Anthea. Thanks, Anthea. We'll catch you tomorrow with more money. And you can hear Anthea's song again. This is honestly one of the most catchy beats of the week, huh? I love it. See, I told you I'd play the chorus.
We love this.
Yeah, and it really gets into it. Anyway, today, after Michael scared a lot of people away with playing The Pretenders, Walking 1,000 Miles, that kind of stuff, well, Pashida, who is our intern here at the moment, she has given me a selection of songs, so we're going to play that, and then we come back, we've got Conspiracy Theory Wednesday, we've got my buddy Malloy with the news, we've got Gareth Cliff, who generally hosts the show mostly, and he'll be telling us about his time at Google, so you don't want to miss any of that. It's very interesting. Yesterday's discussion was fascinating. And today, well, he went to Google, so you know that's going to be even better. CliffCentral.com.